ปรองไอ้ก็แปร
จับจับจับไม่ท้าบ้อง
Ears are primarily seasoned to a certain type of music. But when researching for this episode, I was exposed to a unique soundscape that's very linear, very non-Western. In fact, devoid of harmonies in the usual Western sense. I am talking about the traditional, ancient, and iconic Khmer music of Cambodia. And I couldn't resist myself from starting today's episode with a little glimpse of it. Hello friends, this is Shilpa and welcome to yet another fascinating, adventurous episode of O Folk. Humming to this beautiful Khmer tune, today we travel to what is known as the Land of Smiles, Cambodia. Officially known as the Kingdom of Cambodia, this is a traveler's heaven. The history is as fascinating as her natural beauty and diversity. Over the centuries, the country has gone through many changes and significant transformation. Be it the transition from Hinduism to Buddhism, to the multiple changes in the name of the country, yes. Originally, this country was known as the Kingdom of Cambodia in 1953. Since then, there has been 5 name changes, only to now return to the original name. Other names that followed are the Khmer Republic, Democratic Cambodia, People's Republic of Cambodia, State of Cambodia, and Kingdom of Cambodia. Ever since 1993, the current name has gained some stability and hopefully will not change again. The name Khmer basically comes from the Khmer people. They are a Southeast Asian ethnic group native to Cambodia and comprise over 90% of the Cambodia's population. They speak the Khmer language. Khmer Empire or the Angkorian Empire refers to Cambodia from the 9th to the 15th centuries. This period is also considered as the Golden Age of Cambodia. The birth of the Khmer Empire dates back to 802 CE. When King Jayavarman II declared himself as the Chakravarti, an emperor basically, uniting all the battling Khmer princes of Chenla. This marked the beginning of the Khmer Empire, which flourished and evolved for over 600 years. Probably the most notable legacy of the Khmer Empire is the historic site of Angkor in Cambodia, which was also the Khmer capital during the empire's most flourishing days. This place also houses the majestic monument Angkor Wat. Angkor Wat is a palatial temple complex which is also considered the largest religious monument in the world. It was originally dedicated to the Hindu god, Lord Vishnu, and much later, probably around 16th century, was turned into a Buddhist monument. Angkor Wat is a timeless testimony to the Khmer Empire's boundless power and wealth, architectural genius, aesthetic achievements, and the exchange of cultural diversity on a magnanimous scale. Influence of Indian culture was quite predominant in Cambodia and also other parts of Southeast Asia. Indian culture, including its languages and arts, started reaching this part of Asia around the 1st century AD. How? Well, that discussion can take up another whole episode. Let's leave it there. But yes, in Cambodia, the Indian influence started spreading with the arrival of traders from Hindu kingdoms way back in 500 BCE and then later with the Varman dynasty. The Indianized kingdom facilitated the spread of first Hinduism and then Buddhism. Khmer influence and religion. Both of these plays a significant role in the culture, traditions, art forms, and obviously, long history of Cambodia. The melody with which we started this episode is an example of Khmer music. The famous Apsara dance of Cambodia also carries Khmer influence. Very interestingly, Khmer culture has been shaped by four very different distinct influences: Indian, Chinese, European, and indigenous traditions. Folk tradition and folklores of Cambodia is no exception. They have emerged primarily from the Khmer culture with strong Indian and later Buddhist influence. Today, my story pick is such an interesting one. Although it's many hundred years old, but it addresses a social issue which is still very much prevalent in Asian societies. I was so fascinated by that. Not only so, this story is still very much alive through a particular place in Cambodia. How, where, you will come to know in a bit. So no more delay, it's story time. Seasons back in Kampong Cham province of Cambodia, marriage customs were quite different. In those days, it was the girl who had to propose marriage to the boy. If the boy and his family decided to accept the girl's proposal, she had to buy expensive gifts to give to her future husband and also pay for the wedding. This custom actually started because of a princess and her desperate desire to get married. Since she was a royal, no boy in the kingdom dared to ask her for marriage. So she started this custom where she could ask a man to marry her, and then the rest of the kingdom started to follow her. This practice went on for a long time. However, after a point, young women were not happy with this. They had to take the pressure of first finding a husband, then proposing marriage, and on top, pay for everything. In those days, women were not able to work and earn money like men. So, they decided to go to the king to find a solution for this problem. Those were the reigning time of the King Jayavarman II in Cambodia. It was this king who had united the Khmer kingdoms of the south with the kingdoms of the north into the mighty Angkor Empire. Under his patronage, great cities and beautiful buildings covered with magnificent stone carvings were created. He was a kind and good ruler. So the girls were pretty sure that King Jayavarman will listen to them. However, one clever girl reminded the others that the king himself was a man and he might not want to change a custom that was in favor of other men in the country. So the girls chalked out a secret plan to present to the king And then the best speaker among the group traveled to the city of Angkor to talk to the king. When they reached the king's court, they explained their concern. "Dearest and the most gracious king," said one of the girls, "please listen to our story. When it comes to marriage, we have to do all the hard work. We are the ones who have to find a suitable match, then propose marriage to them, and on top of that, we must also pay for the wedding. Not only that, we also have to give expensive gifts to him and his family. It is very hard for us to do so much. We cannot go out and work and earn like the boys, but still, we have to take so much of burden. Why can't boys take this responsibility and propose us for marriage?" King Jayavarman gave a long thought to what the girls said, and finally he agreed to them. "I think what you guys are telling is right," said the king. "But this has been our long ongoing tradition. How can I change it like that?" Then one of the girls came forward and said, "Oh dear king, we have a plan for you. You can set a competition for both men and women of the country, and whoever loses will have to propose marriage going forward." The king was perplexed. "Okay, but what kind of competition?" The girls were excited to explain further. "Please call all the young unmarried men and women, divide them into boys and girls groups, and ask them to build 2 mountains respectively to honor you. Allot 5 days to complete the task. On the morning of the 5th day, they must stop working." The king was impressed with this idea. There were not many mountains in the region, so he thought, "This will be a great addition to the province. Plus, he could also stand on top of the mountains and feel closer to heaven. Also, he could watch for enemies from top of the mountains." Thinking all of these, he agreed to this plan. The rule was to start counting the days from the time the morning star is seen in the sky. Morning star in this case means the star Sirius, and is seen just before the sun rises, around 4 a.m. Next day, all the unmarried young men and women were summoned and the competition was explained. "The women of our nation are unhappy with our marriage customs. They want the men to propose marriage and pay for the wedding." The men laughed at this. However, the king continued, "I am organizing this competition to give women a fair chance." Now, since the king had organized it, everyone decided to participate. They were shown the places where they would build their mountains. The minister said, "Tomorrow, when the Sirius will be seen, the competition will start with the sound of the royal drums. You can work both day and night for 5 days. But you have to stop with the rise of the morning star on the 5th day. Whoever makes the smaller mountain and loses will have to propose marriage, pay for the marriage, as well as give hefty gift to the opposite families going forward." When the king had left, the men laughed and joked about this proposal. "No way those timid girls can win this. This is so much of hard work," they said to themselves. That night, when all the men left for their home, the girls came hiding to their own building place by the river. They very carefully loosened the earth so that the next day they could easily roll big stones together to form the base of their mountain. They covered their work with tree branches so that no one sees it. When the serious morning star rose the next day, the competition began with huge roll of the royal drum. Both men and women worked all day. Around evening, the men decided to rest because they were sure that women were definitely much behind them. And they judged this without even seeing their work. The women, on the other hand, continued their work. They took turns to take rest, and that too in shorter spans. Second day, when the morning star rose, the women stopped working and sat down for a meeting. Seeing this, the men thought women were being lazy. They were simply sitting and gossiping. This assured them even more that they were definitely going to be the winners. One of the men said, "No need to do much hard work on this. We are definitely winning. Let's take it easy, folks." That night, again, while the men were sleeping and resting, women continued their work. On the third day, as the morning star rose, a bunch of women went to the village market to buy some thin, clear paper, some strings, and candles, while another bunch went to the woods to get some other stuff. Seeing this, the men thought women were busy shopping and buying groceries. So even they stopped working. Again that night, men kept sleeping and women kept working. On the fourth day, as the morning star rose, the men saw that the women were sitting in a cluster and doing something. They didn't see what they were doing. They thought women were simply sitting and wasting time. They laughed and thought no way they can build even half of the mountain they have made. So even they worked for a brief time and laid down to rest. They thought they will wake up in some time and build some more before the final morning to impress the king. The competition was coming to an end, so anyways, the men couldn't wait to get this thing over and win the competition. Now guess what the women were doing that morning? They were making a fake morning star to deceive the men on the final day. They basically made a star-shaped lantern and lightened it up with candles inside. They set it up in such a way that the evening breeze would take it very high and ultimately it will look like a morning star. And they did exactly as planned. When the lantern rose high up in the sky and looked like a star, amidst all the darkness, they started crying out loud, "Oh no, this night is so short. The star rose so early, we cannot work anymore." The men woke up by this noise and looking up in the sky, they mistook the lantern as the star. Half asleep, those men couldn't even make the difference. In fact, they were annoyed by all the cry, but they also were immediately convinced that they have won the game. One of the men said, "Ha, look at them. All through they were lazing around and now they're crying. Sure, they couldn't build a decent platform. Now that the star is up, anyways, we can't work anymore. So let's just sleep until the sun is up and the king comes to inspect." And all the men went back to sleep while the women continued to build. This was the last phase, so they tried to put in all their hard work. When the actual morning star rose, they stopped and finally laid down to rest. Later in the day, the king and his ministers came to inspect. The king looked to the east. There stood the tall mountain made by the women. "I am very impressed," said the king. "This is as lovely to look at as you beautiful women of the Khmer Kingdom. Now time to see what our mighty men have done." To the west stood the men's mountain. This was a broad, sturdy base, though it rose to some height, but then it simply stopped and didn't have any peak. The king was stunned. It was hard to believe that the men did such a poor job. It came as an absolute surprise to him, but now there was a clear winner. The king kept his promise. He declared, "From now on, the culture of marriage proposal will change. Now men must take the responsibility to propose to the women, pay for the wedding, and also buy expensive gifts for the bride's family." This way, the wedding tradition in Cambodia changed forever. Now, we all know about dowry, right? It is basically the property from the bride's parents to their daughter at her marriage. In many countries, dowry-related crime is still predominant. The bride and the family of the bride is harassed incessantly, and the girls at times are tortured to even death by her husband and in-laws. This is a very serious issue, and even state-imposed strict laws have not been able to completely eradicate this. Now compare this to the stark contrast that this ancient story brings in. It talks about men bearing the burden. While bearing financial burden for marriage is unacceptable for everyone, be it men or women, but it is fascinating to see that how an ancient tale glides towards gender and social equality. So the property, which is prepared by the groom and his family in response to his in-laws' request, is called dower. Dower is actually an ancient custom in Cambodia as well as in other parts of Asia, Northern Africa, and the Balkans, which is expected and demanded as a condition to accept a marriage proposal. The quantities of dower are demanded by bride's parents and needs to be accepted by groom's family before the marriage. A man has to meet the requirement of dower from future parents-in-law as well as pay for all the expenses of the wedding. This custom is still in place even to this date. Now, another extremely fascinating fact for you. If you go to Cambodia and travel up the Mekong River past Phnom Penh to the Kampong Cham province, you will actually see two mountains named Nom Pros, which means the mountain of the men, and Nom Srey, or the mountain of the women. You can actually go and see which one is higher. Now, these are also the names of the two pagodas which are on top of each mountain. Yes, now you can understand why I said in the beginning that this story is still very much alive through a particular place. While Cambodia is so rich in history and heritage, there is still a huge bunch of people, especially in the West, who might not even have heard about this country. But as they say, the world is a small place, and more so in today's time. Every country, no matter how small it is linked to the rest of the world in some way, maybe through a cuisine, cultural trait, dress code, or something else. And we explore that in our next segment, Pop Shots. Did you know that the US dollar is Cambodia's unofficial second currency? The official currency of Cambodia is the Cambodian riel. The exchange rate right now is more than 4,000 riel for one US dollar. Due to this high exchange rate, there's a high level of dollarization in the country. What basically means is that you don't need to worry about getting riel when you travel to Cambodia from US. In fact, the visa that you get on arrival needs to be paid for in US dollars. However, Cambodia is in process of de-dollarizing their economy. In fact, small denomination US notes are being phased out of circulation very slowly. It's enthralling to think how all the nations across the globe are dependent on each other. No matter how different they are, they have to coexist. That's natural, right? We are part of the same planet, and it is our duty to balance each other's strength and weaknesses. But we choose to fight, unfortunately. We choose to divide, we discriminate. We burn each other's houses, and never anyone gains anything, yet we still go on doing the same thing again and again. Unfortunate, but that's the sad reality even today. However, the optimist in me still wants to believe that we will set aside these qualms one day. Someday, maybe on the other side of the rainbow bridge, and there will shine a new sun. I will leave you with those thoughts and wrap this episode. Those who have been listening to me, a huge thanks to all of you. It's all of your encouragement that keeps me going. Please, please share my podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, acquaintances, basically everyone that you know, because I really, really need your support. Listen, subscribe, follow me on any podcast platform of your choice. Connect with me on social media and let me know what you think of O Folk or if you have any feedback. In the next episode, we travel from Southeast Asia to Central Asia in Tajikistan. See you guys very soon. Until then, take care, stay healthy, and please do not let your guards down because COVID is not over yet. Goodbye.